Hey, we are so grateful that you've joined us this morning for Church Online from Calvary Bible Fellowship Church. We really do want to thank you for doing that. We're so appreciative. There's many of you who are brand new to Calvary, and we really appreciate the fact that you're checking in and seeing what's going on and benefiting from our services. You know, there are 167 hours between this time and next week, when we do it all again. And Jesus needs to be a part of every one of those hours. But not only does Jesus need to be a part of every one of those hours, we would like to be a part of every one of those hours. And what you can do is you can connect with us in a number of different ways. You can go to our Facebook page and catch what's going on there. You can like us. We would encourage you to do that. I get on there a couple of times during the week and do a little live video or just a regular video. And there's a lot of other good things. You can also follow us on our Instagram account. In addition to those two platforms, we also, through Zoom, are having online groups and prayer meeting. And if you'd like to check that out, you can go to our website, cbfc.net, and there you can take a look at the online events and scroll down and see the different things that are available and register for any of those. Again, we are just so appreciative that you are taking the time to tune in this morning. It also, Monday is going to be Memorial Day. This is Memorial Day weekend, and I just want to express my deep, deep appreciation to all those individuals and all those families who have served our nation, who have made tremendous sacrifices, including the ultimate sacrifice, laying down one's life. And we appreciate that. I appreciate that because that allows us to have the freedoms that we have as Americans. And really, not only our freedom, but our men and women have secured freedom for many other people around the world throughout our history. So thank you. As we get started this morning, we want to talk about a subject that's really not exactly fun to talk about. We're going to talk about anger. Anger. I've been asked, actually, by people to talk about anger. People who would say that they have anger issues are expressing that they are really in trouble right now during these times. People who are normally easygoing and seldom angered are a little bit scared by what they have been feeling sometimes. I heard a podcaster just the other day from Washington State talk about the frustration and the anger in her state, and that she said it's so thick you could cut it with a knife. And I believe we all are aware of that. I've personally have had some days over the past couple weeks where my fuse just seemed shorter than normal. And that's a concern for all of us. So, a couple of questions that I want to really answer, but I want you to start thinking about. I want you to connect with. First of all, is anger sin? Is there such a thing as righteous anger? Does God get angry? And here's the biggie. Here's the most practical aspect of it all. How do I control my anger? Does the Bible have anything to say about that? Well, yes, it does. And so the first place we're going to go this morning, if you'd open up your scriptures to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, "Be angry and do not sin." Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. I want to take that passage, that verse, and I just want to break those two verses apart a little bit for us and help us to think through them and learn what we need to learn, understand what we need to understand about this subject called anger that we all feel. First of all, Paul says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry. Anger is something that is going to happen to you. You are going to feel anger. And he says, be angry. You're going to experience it. So acknowledge it. Don't ignore it. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to cover it up. Acknowledge that it's real. Be angry. Anger is an emotion. Now, I want you to understand something. Emotions in and of themselves, they are not sin. but they can lead us to sin. So anger is this emotion that we feel at certain times. And in our flesh, that emotion can lead us to sin. It can lead us to do things that we would not want to do. It would cause us to lose control and say something that we desperately wish we would have never said, or do something we desperately wish we would have never done. Now, I want you to understand that anger, as an emotion, comes from God. The Bible tells us that God Himself gets angry. So, obviously, if God gets angry, there is a type of anger that is holy anger, or righteous anger, or godly anger, because God Himself gets angry. As a matter of fact, when God was up on the mountain at Mount Sinai with Moses, He said to Moses, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's the way He described Himself, explained Himself to Moses, that He is a merciful God, a gracious God, a God who is slow to anger. You know, in the ancient times, people had the idea that the gods were, you know, kind of fickle. Some were typically angry and grumpy, and you just never knew when they were going to get you. But God is not like that. God is a God who is gracious, who is merciful. He is slow to anger, even when it's justifiable for Him to be angry. Now, anger, as an emotion that God experiences, is what anger is really all about. It is towards sin. It is towards injustice. You see, you and I, we were made in the image of God. And so just as it's part of God's nature, part of God's character, to get angry when there is some sort of sin, there's unrighteousness, and I believe particularly when there's an injustice that takes place, God gets angry. And when He created us, we were created in His image. So part of that being image bearers of the living God is that we too experience this emotion of anger. Now, that does not mean that all of our anger is right and righteous and godly and good. The reality is that you and I receive from our parents, Adam and Eve, a sin nature. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, something broke inside of human beings and has been passed down from them all the way through all of us. And so our conscience, that inner code that we all have, that compass that's supposed to guide us true north, it's off. Sin has distorted things inside of us so that when we get angry, it isn't always. As a matter of fact, most times it is not righteous anger. And even when it is righteous anger, we need to be careful. Because the reality is that our hearts, as Jeremiah said, our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know them? We can easily deceive ourselves into thinking that we are angry about something and it's absolutely justifiable. It's righteous anger when it isn't. And so we need to be very, very, very careful about anger. We need to understand what it is. We need to think about it. We need to process it. Where is this coming from? And we need to understand that our sin natures will take anger, even righteous anger, and twist it. So we need to be careful. So, as a result, much of our anger is not righteous. It is often the result of something sinful inside of us. One of the things that it can be, something that actually I have found through just observing my own life and through counseling with people, is that so often we get angry because there was some sort of a desire that we have, some sort of a goal we're seeking to achieve, some sort of an objective, that somebody steps in the way of it or something thwarts it and cuts it off. And that's what causes us to get angry. I'm going to start out here just kind of, first of all, picking on men, and then I'll pick a little bit on women And then I'll just talk about some very general things. But I'm just going to talk to us guys. Maybe I'm alone on this, but I don't think so. As a husband, there's times that I will want to go out for dinner. And I will put it out there to Chris, hey, let's go out for dinner. Let's go to Red Lobster. Let's go to Outback. Let's go out for dinner. And Chris will shut that down for any number of reasons. Maybe she already has some meat out of the freezer and it's defrosted, or maybe she's already got some other things prepared and ready, or maybe she's just not feeling like going out for dinner. Or one of the ones I get hit with is, well, you know, we really should save the money. And inside, I'm like, because I want to go out for dinner. And she just cut me off. So what is that? Is that righteous anger? No, that's not righteous. That's ungodly. That is a sinful, selfish thing on my part. Another thing that I know makes a lot of us men angry. You know, we want to come home from the pressures and the stress and the rigors of our work life. I'm not saying that women don't want this as well, but men, we want to come home. We want to come home to our castle. We want to cross the moat, go across the bridge, enter through the gate, and we want to be inside where it's our domain and it's peaceful. And we don't want anything to disrupt that peace. And any number of things can disrupt that peace. And when they do, we get angry. It's crazy, but I mean, I have gotten angry because one of my kids got hurt and I had to deal with it. That's wrong. That is just so sinful. That's what anger connected to our sin nature will do. Here's another one. There are times that I want to be intimate with my wife and she has a headache. Or she's tired. She's preoccupied with just the stuff going on around us. And she's not interested. What do I do? I get angry. Now, come on, guys. I know some of you want to sit there and say, you know, Pastor Wayne, you're messed up. But a lot of us are like that. I did some thinking, and I actually reached out to a woman that I know to get some feedback, and she rattled off quite a list of things, but I'm going to give you a few of them here. And first of all, let me go back to men for a second. You know, thinking about what men get angry about, men a lot of times get angry in connection to honor, in connection to significance, things that strike a blow at their significance, things that disrespect them or dishonor them. Those are triggers for men to get angry. Women, not that they can't get angry about those things, but they tend to get angry when they sense insecurity. Things aren't safe. When they don't feel loved, when they don't feel really accepted and cared for the way that God wired them to be and to need. One of those things, one of those ways that kind of manifests itself is when a husband is, or really anybody, but especially if we're talking about a wife, when her husband is inconsiderate. But really, when anybody is inconsiderate, doesn't that trigger anger often in us? Here's another one. Sometimes us guys are kind of clueless when maybe a woman is flirting with us a little bit, and our wives are not clueless to those things. And that causes anger. Another one would be a foolish purchase that endangers that security, that financial security of the family. Or there was something we were saving money for, and the husband goes out and he buys something that now delays getting that thing that they were actually saving money for. Another thing would be hobbies or addictions, or whatever you want to call them, that just suck up his time, the husband's time, and pulls him away from the family. Those things can make a wife very angry. Dirty dishes piling up in the sink or on the table or on the countertops, or laundry piling up, or laundry that got started and nobody finished and it's ended up sitting for a day in the washing machine. Unflushed toilets. That cracked me up when I saw that on the list, and I can understand that be very aggravating. Here's one. This is kind of true generally, and now we move into the general area. When others lie about their wrongdoing, or they lie in order to do something that they know is wrong. Another one, this is generally when we're driving and somebody cuts us off. We have a mixture of righteous and unrighteous anger in that moment, don't we? Here's another one that I think all of us feel, and certainly I think oftentimes in many families, women can be made angry because of this type of a situation. When they are left out of the decision-making process, that will make them angry. Our wives need to be a part of the decision-making process. They need to be given equal weight, equal say, when we have an issue to discuss and decide as a family. Now, yeah, it might come down that ultimately the husband has to make the final decision. But the husband should always begin and honestly seek to come to a decision that both he and his wife are fully behind. And when that doesn't happen, that can cause a lot of anger. So, but that kind of thing happens in the business place, in where we work, and in other places. Aggression, when somebody's aggressive towards another person, or somebody bullies, or somebody takes advantage of somebody who is vulnerable, those are things that will make us angry. Here's one. When someone is inconsiderate, and I already mentioned being inconsiderate, but when they're inconsiderate of others and they took that last piece of cake or that last piece of fried chicken or that last donut or they finished off the iced tea. That's what happens in my house. And we get angry. Here's another one. This is the one that kind of generally, and you know, I don't want to get too political here, but this is the one that's really affecting all of us now. We're angry because we have lost our freedom. We're angry because we've lost our ability to make a living. And we're angry because we have lost the freedom to be together and to fellowship and to worship freely. You know, these are things that our founding fathers said were rights that the Creator gave us. And man, when you take those away from us, first of all, because as Americans, we've experienced them, we know them, we've tasted them, we value them. You take those things away from us. Even when you talk us into giving them up voluntarily for a greater cause, it doesn't take very long. And we're frustrated and we are angry. And so that's where many of us are today. And I get it. And I believe there have been some genuine injustices that have taken place. I believe that there has been the violation of constitutional rights and even laws. And those things cause us to be angry. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. Be angry and sin not. So, I want us to understand that anger is never a license to sin. Anger is never a license to sin. We need to be careful. We need to be careful that our reaction is not sin. When we have somebody that we are angry about, it's absolutely fine to be angry and to go about the right ways of rectifying that. So currently, situation in our country, in our state, to go about trying to get that corrected makes sense. To talk about the facts, that all makes sense. But to get derogatory about individuals, to put them down, to call them certain names. Now we've crossed a line. Now we've done something that we should not have done. Anger is never a license to sin. Another part of this verse is, do not let the sun go down on your anger. One of the things I think is important to understand is that what that phrase is telling us is that we need to deal with the circumstances that have produced this feeling of anger in a prompt way. And we shouldn't let it go on. We shouldn't let it continue. We need to resolve it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you can resolve it in that moment. But hopefully in the course of before you go to bed, you should be able to work it out, to speak to that individual. And oftentimes it is a family member, our spouse. But it may be somebody else. It may be somebody at work. It may be a neighbor. It could be an old friend that we have had a situation with them and we are angry. We need to resolve it as quickly as possible. And you see, my friends, when we are angry, we need to be careful to not sin, to deal with it promptly, because otherwise we give an opportunity to the devil. He gets and worms his way in. And unresolved anger will build and multiply and make us even more and more and more angry and more explosive. Sometimes what happens when that anger builds up inside of us, obviously, is there comes a real pressure point where we just explode all over the wrong people. And we don't want that to happen. Another thing, though, that happens is sometimes in squashing that anger down inside of us, we end up becoming bitter. And bitterness will kill you as a person. I mean, literally, it will kill you as a person, let alone it will kill you in all of your relationships and in your thinking and in how you feel before it gets to you even physically. Now, James, the writer of James, he had a simple strategy, a basic strategy for how we can deal with anger. So let's take a look at that. Let's go to James chapter 1, and we're going to take a look at verses 19 and 20. James 1, 19 and 20. He says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." I want to start right there with that verse, verse 20. For the anger of man does not produce, think about that, the anger of man, man's anger, does not produce the righteousness of God. So, even if your anger is justified and righteous, as I've already said, it is never a license to sin. Man's anger, we need to always remember this, that because our sin nature is within us and it's powerful and it's deceptive, that anger, even anger over something that we really, really should be angry about. Human trafficking is something we should be angered about. Bullying is something we should be angered about. When the government violates the laws and infringes upon the freedoms and the constitutional rights of the people, it's understandable to be angry about that. But we need to understand that sin nature wants to twist that. So man's anger does not produce the righteousness of God. When we're talking about man's anger, we're talking about an anger that is not pure, an anger that is not necessarily trustworthy, an anger that may be out of control, an anger that might cross a line. See, God's anger never does that. God's anger is always completely 100% righteous, but our anger may not be. Now, because of this reality in verse 20, he explains the strategy, what we need to do, what we need to understand. The first thing he says is be quick to hear. Be quick to hear. We need to stop and we need to listen. We need to figure out the source or the starting point of our anger, because often it isn't the immediate context, right? I mean, we all know that. Lots of times we get angry in a situation and either we're like, why did I get angry about that? Or, wow, my level of anger is way beyond what the circumstance, what happened would normally produce. So we need to dig down. We need to think, what is going on here? What is behind this? And it often springs from frustration and stress and insecurity and fatigue, unmet desires, as I've already talked about, even simple things like just being too hungry or too tired. Probably another thing you maybe have realized is the later it gets in the day, the more you see your fuse getting shorter and shorter. You see anger erupting in your life. And another issue is, and one that would be produced in our circumstances right now, is just being lonely. Being lonely. So, we need to be quick to listen. We need to act quickly. We also need to be slow to express that. That's what that usually, we feel that feeling, we immediately kind of vomit our that anger, what we are feeling, what we are thinking. And we just put it out there. We need to be slow to express ourselves. The scriptures talk about us that we need to be people of self-control. We need to think about God and the way He is. He's gracious and He's merciful. Even in the circumstances where people have really done something wrong, He's gracious. He's merciful. He's slow to anger. We need to be like Him. We need to be like Jesus. And slow to anger, slow to react out of that anger. So here's what I want you to take away. This is what I want you to remember. You need to act quickly. See, when you act on something, you are in control. You are doing it. We need to act quickly. And the way that we act quickly is we listen. We figure out what's going on here. We understand the circumstances. We act quickly. The second thing, though, is then that we react slowly. You see, for every action, there is a reaction, and there's always an action that causes our reaction of anger. And that reaction of anger will then produce this reacting, and we need to make sure that we act quickly to do the right things, and we react slowly in responding to what our anger would have us to do. So as we wrap this up, the reality is we are all going to be angry at times. Sometimes it's very justifiable. Most of the time, it actually isn't. And what we need to do, if you are struggling with anger, if you're struggling with anger, if you're struggling controlling that anger, I want to encourage you to, first of all, talk to God about it. Tell Him, God, I've got a problem here. I get angry. I get angry when I shouldn't. I get angry about things that I shouldn't. That the anger takes control of me. Talk to Him about it. Ask Him for help. Ask Him to help you to understand what the underlying thing is. I've heard stories of people who have prayed and told God this and asked God for help. And God has brought to their remembrance things that happened years and years ago. Maybe even back when they were a child. That are triggers and that have been just underlying, and God has revealed that and it has helped them figure things out, deal with those issues, and that has helped them resolve the issue of anger in their life. For all of us in this situation where our ire is up, we need to act quickly and we need to react slowly. So there's a couple of things to remember. Number one, listen. Listen to whoever is involved, whoever you're angry with. Find out what's going on. Why did they do what they did? Ask questions. Seek an understanding. Number two, consider what the real reason is for you feeling angry. As I said earlier, a lot of times it's really not the circumstance that we're dealing with. A lot of times we are angry because of something that happened earlier in the day, at work, or in another situation. We are angry because of maybe even something that happened years ago, and this has just triggered something similar, and that anger has flared up. We could be angry just simply because we are tired or hungry. could be causing that anger to be what it is. The third thing is that you do need to deal with it. We do need to act, and ultimately we need to react. We need to do that slowly, but part of that is speaking, and we need to express our thoughts and our feelings carefully once we've calmed down. Although expressing anger is actually better than keeping it in, it can be dangerous. And so we really need to make sure that we're ready. We need to make sure that we're calm. But we really do need to talk to whoever is involved. We need to express how we feel. But we need to do it in a godly and righteous way. So try to express yourself clearly and calmly. And number four, let go of the right to be angry. That is so often how we feel and what we're thinking, and sometimes we even say it. I have the right to be angry. Well, even if you do, when you probably don't, you need to be careful. Don't try to justify your anger. Don't excuse it or shift the blame onto somebody else. You need to give up that right. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is releasing that right to be angry, to control that situation, to demand that somebody pay a price, to demand that this get fixed the way I want it to be fixed. We need to turn it over to God. We need to give it to Him. We need to let Him handle it. And we need to not seek any sort of retaliation or punishment or consequence. We need to put it in God's hands. Now, maybe the person you're angry with is God Himself. You may be angry with God. That might be the situation. And again, I would encourage you, because your relationship with God is the most important relationship of any relationship you can ever have. And so if you're angry with God, there's a problem in that relationship, and you need to go talk to Him about it. You need to pray. You need to put it out there in front of Him. He will respond to you. He will walk with you through this. He will help you figure it out and get it resolved. He might bring other people into your life to help you do that, but He will. So let Him know. And again, many of us are angry right now with our government, with those in authority over us. There are ways to handle that. There is voting. There are letters that we can send and write. There are petitions we can sign our name to. We can even be involved in lawsuits. There's nothing wrong with that. In our country, the way things are set up, sometimes the citizenry, because ultimately government starts with us, and when our leaders are not doing what they're supposed to according to the law and according to either the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of the state of Pennsylvania or whatever state you live in, it is appropriate to file a suit to get that rectified. Those are the righteous ways of doing things, not tearing somebody up on a Facebook post or in personal conversation with other individuals. Now, I want to wrap with one thing. You may be angry, and the reason why you're angry is because you do not have peace in your own heart. And the reason why you don't have peace in your own heart is because the God who made us, we have sinned against Him, we've broken that relationship, and we all kind of quietly know it. There's a very interesting verse, actually a chapter in Romans, chapter 5. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have peace with God. My friend, that might be what you need. That might be the real root problem for the anger issue that you have, is that you don't have peace with God. You haven't accepted the gift of salvation that God has made possible through His Son, Jesus. You see, a couple of verses down in verse 10, he says this: "For if while we were enemies," and we are all enemies, we were all born enemies of God, For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. My friends, the problem might be that you don't have the relationship with God. You see, we were all born separated from God because of our sin. God sent his Son Jesus, who came and died on the cross and paid for our sins, so that that gap could be bridged. So that we as enemies could be reconciled to God, not only as friends, but the scripture says adopted into his family. And all of that is done through Jesus. And it is received. It says there in verse 1 that we are justified. We are justified. We are declared righteous by faith. My friend, you cannot earn your salvation. Jesus came. That's why he came, to die for you. He did it for you because you and I, we can't do it. So if you've never received Christ before as your Savior, if you've never understood that you need to accept him and believe in him and let God fix your sin problem, let God reconcile you to himself, you need to do that now. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your incredible love. We thank you that you are a merciful and gracious God, and that you are slow to anger, even though as human beings, in our sin, in our rebellion against you, in our forsaking you, we deserve your wrath. We deserve your fury. We deserve to experience your anger. Lord God, we want to pray, though, that we would reflect you, that we would be like you, that we would be gracious and long-suffering and merciful and slow to anger. But Lord, it isn't easy. This is an emotion that just in an instant is there and is in such control. Lord God, I pray for anybody who's listening today to experience the work of your Spirit setting them free, helping them to have control over their heart, over their mind, over their emotions when they get angry. Lord, help them to be quick to listen, to be slow to speak and slower to get angry. Help us all to act quickly but react slowly. Lord God, there may be somebody who part of the reason why there's so much anger in their life is because things aren't right between them and you. Lord, you've done something to fix that. You sent Jesus to come and die and pay for our sins. And by faith, when we believe in you, you save us and you adopt us into your family, and we then have peace with you. And if there's somebody listening to my voice right now who is lacking that peace, who is yearning for that peace, who is tired of the anger in their life, and they recognize that, yes, it comes because something's wrong deep down, and it's something wrong with you, God, that they don't have a relationship with you, that they need to be saved from their sin. I pray that right now they would cry out to you and say, God, I believe in you. I believe you love me. I believe you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And I'm believing in him and accepting him as my Savior to restore me in relationship to you, God, and to give me peace. Lord God, we thank you for everything we have in Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives within us once we believe in your Son, Jesus. And we pray that he would help us to be people who exercise self-control and not respond in anger. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you for being with us this week. Hope to see you next week. Till then, you have a great week. God bless.